Good afternoon, welcome to the zoning administrator hearing for the city of Escondido on November 18th, 2021. Time right now is 3:05 p.m. My name's Adam Feinstone. I'm the interim director of community development, and I'll be serving as the zoning administrator today. On the agenda, we have five items. They are all minor conditional use permits for AT&T wireless small cell facilities on existing or replacement light poles. Darren Parker, our associate planner, is the project planner on this. Darren, if you can just give a quick rundown of what the projects are.
Yes, my name is Darren Parker, associate planner for the city of Escondido. I'm working with AT&T that's proposing to install five small wireless facilities, which are also referred to as nodes in a public right-of-way. All these facilities will be replacing the existing 27-foot city street light pole with a new 27-foot street light pole. Each pole will have one canister-type antenna on top and two radio units mounted vertically to the side of the pole. The new street light pole will still function and operate as a regular light pole. And they will also be equipped with new LED fixing lights as well. The new street light will conform to the city standards, everything like that. The small cell facilities are mandated and regulated to meet the FCC guidelines, which they all are, as in currently. Unfortunately, the applicant as AT&T is not here, unfortunately. They said they were coming. But if you have any other further questions, I'm here to answer them for you.
Thank you, Darren. So this being a public hearing, we will be taking testimony from anyone in the audience here. If you do wish to speak, please just, we'll go through, and if you can make sure you state your name and which location you are here to discuss for the record, that'd be helpful, appreciated. And we'll I'll be taking a little bit of notes and we'll have that information here. I guess we'll just start.
Okay, my name is Florissa. I live in CSS. I live at 2020 Weatherman Avenue, and I am against the installation of the small antenna. A simple Google search will tell you that the safe distance from any of the small quote unquote antennas, the safe distance is 300 to 400 meters. You're putting it in front of a home with three small children. This is going to put out small doses of radiation all day, every day, 24 hours a day. I'm here to ask, what exactly are you doing to protect the neighborhood, the birds, the bees, the animals that are out there? Now, you're also attempting to install an underground vault with the furniture required to run that pool. That also provides noise pollution, at least 40 decibels. They hum all day long. What exactly, how are we protecting the people that live in that neighborhood? Are we lining their homes with copper sheeting, with silver sheeting? Are we putting monitors on the roofs? How exactly, why can't they bury it like they did 3G and 4G? Why does it have to be at the expense of the citizens? Put yourself in my shoes. I cannot just get up and go move somewhere else. But they can bury those lines. They can bury it in fiber optics, encase it in a conduit, and concrete, and it would be safe for everybody. But instead, it's cheaper for them to affect all of the people that live there. The children, the animals, my dogs will be exposed to radiation. I will be exposed because the roof is no protection for radiation. So are you lining our homes with Faraday material? Are you installing copper sheeting? I would like to know how the citizens in those neighborhoods are going to be protected. Radiation 24 hours a day is not happening for anyone. And please put yourselves in the residents that live there. I mean, you're putting that pole is not even 100 feet away from the front door of a couple that just had a baby. What is it doing to the citizens? All day, every day, incessantly radiating, pulsing particles all day long.
So, Mr. Parker, is the vault where the for the equipment, is that in fact underground?
It is. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
As most of the equipment being a small little underground vault, we call it a handhold. Basically, it's a small little vault. It doesn't make any noise though at all.
It does. I'm a safety inspector by trade, and I've been in the construction industry for 30 years. They do make noise, and I monitor them for a living.
So I'm a little confused because you said, why can't they put them underground like they do with the 3D?
The fiber optic line. So instead of pulsating particulates and radiation through the environment, why don't they bury the lines in fiber optic cable?
Are the lines underground?
The lines are underground.
So what do they need the antenna for?
To enhance what's underground?
The
antenna is more served as to provide additional coverage and capacity. It's basically
buried underground.
What's that?
To what's already
so
buried.
So let me, if I can, Mr. Parker, this is an antenna for a cell phone service, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's cell phone service. It could be also internet as well,
okay.
Provided.
Right, okay. So.
And is it does put out constant low levels of radiation. So has there been a study done before this gets approved?
They have done a study. They've done what's called an RF study that's been done. They meet the FCC guidelines and fall within their thresholds.
The FCC is also in litigation about that.
So
since 2020.
So the city is obliged to follow whatever the FCC guidance is at this point, and whether they're in litigation or not is something that we have no say of, okay, we can hold off on these kinds of things. There are rules and regulations as far as what that maximum permissive exposure is.
There is no FCC permissible exposure limits for radiation.
Is that?
There is. They have threshold guidelines.
The FDA does not have a
FCC.
FCC, not here.
They really don't have a study. I've read all about it.
Okay.
So if you can show, why can't the residents take a peek at the study that AT&T before they're put up?
I'm more than welcome to provide that to you, like I provided this gentleman right here that's looking at the study. I'd be more than welcome to provide that to you.
Because I will be putting a monitor. I'm not within the shadow zone. I'm going to be directly, my home is going to be directly hit by that, and I will be installing a radiation meter. And I can assure you, because I've worked at the Qualcomm buildings and I've worked at Serenity Mesa, that when I have crews working on the roofs where there are small antennae, they have to be shut down and locked out before my crews are allowed to work there. So that doesn't give me peace of mind.
Do you know what kind of antennas those are?
The same one, small, low-level antennas. I'm just curious on what kind of safeguards are you providing the neighborhoods they're in? And I'm not in here to be confrontational whatsoever. I'm truly concerned. There's a lot of children that live in that neighborhood.
And we appreciate your discernment, and I understand it. Unfortunately, the city is mandated to follow the FCC guidelines and thresholds.
And I understand that, but what is your safety plan? You also have to give your concerned residents a study, correct? Or a solution to what limits my exposure?
So
I live there.
So AT&T has to follow the FCC guidelines and meet their
That doesn't limit the exposure. That just provides the amount of output they can put out, right? It doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect the trees and the birds and the bees and the insects.
So FCC has provided and city must abide by. We cannot deny an application based on
that. I totally understand that. I just want to know how you will be monitoring that.
We do require after installation that they provide a study, a summary, or a survey showing what the output is at that point.
And how
so
long will that take from the moment it's installed to when it's provided?
We require within 90 days.
And then how often after that?
Do we have a monitoring time frame on that?
No.
The idea is that it's the same equipment, right? The equipment and its ability to operate doesn't change through time.
if they ever come back to modify that equipment or add to it or change it, they have to come back through us again and produce another study as well.
Do we know that to be a fact?
Pardon?
Do we know that to be a fact? I mean, they can't control it remotely?
I'm not understanding your question there.
Can they turn up the intensity?
Yes.
Is that the question? So, Mr. Parker, the equipment that they're putting in, the standard or the specifications they have for it, that is what it can operate at. What it's not. It's not like it's a scale that they can turn the volume up and down.
No, and I'll get you a copy of their model there, and that's based upon producing 100%. It's not saying that they're going to produce 100% at all, but that's modeling is based on 100%. It's well below the threshold guidelines for the FCC.
Okay. Yeah, the FCC does not really get into the permissible exposure limits for. Okay. So how often will it be monitored and checked after the 90 days? Unless they quote unquote ramp it up?
Correct. The understanding that we have about how this equipment works is that once it's installed, it continues to function and operate in the same manner until they would come in and actually physically do something to the equipment.
So what happens if my radiation monitor that I will be installing starts alarming?
If it like peaks kind of thing, you can let us know and we can look into that.
Okay.
I can assure you it will alarm. I can't say what's going to happen, and I can't say what our results will be, but we can definitely look at whatever it is that you might provide. We can get a third party in there if necessary to look at the numbers and the data that come out of it. So,
okay.
Sir?
Yeah, I don't want to say downplay your part, but
what's your name?
My name is Craig Hong, and I'm the owner at the property 102 Cityscape Glen. And they've been doing this for a couple of years now. This isn't the first one they've been installed. They've been installing this throughout the city. I did a search on the internet.
They looked at about maybe 60 to 100.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And so did the city of Antioch and the city of Palo Alto that are now removing them.
I'm not familiar with the non-ionizing radiation, but I've been working on the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station for about 27 years, and I was one of the licensed operators there, so I know about ionizing radiation and how. Right? And as far as this is concerned, it's basically radiation is we call it the inverse square law, right? So the distance, right? Really, basically. Distance, time, and shielding that affects the radiations, right? So if I were to, let's just say one of your gentlemen is the source of the radiation, and if I were to move from here half distance, I would not get the double the radiation. I would actually get four times the radiation from what I would get here when I just go the half the distance. So, and I've looked at a lot of the photos of, where you guys, prior to today of installing equipment of other light poles and whatnot, and a lot of them were like across the street from a home and all this and that. But my home, I have taken this is a printout of my home with where the light pole is. I put it with Google Maps, and that light pole is 20 feet away from my exterior of my home, and downstairs the garage. And right above the garage are the two bedrooms, where is the nearest light pole is. So, and it's on a raised foundation, and it has a 10-foot ceiling. So by the time you stand on the second floor, you're on 12 feet. So a child, let's say, is 5 feet, then just reaching 17 feet, right? And the light pole, it says, on my letter, it says, it's a 27 feet tall street light. So that's only 10 feet, right, the height difference, and 20 feet distance. So if you do the a squared plus b squared equals c squared, then it's 22.3 feet. So a child in that room will be only 23 feet away, not even 23 feet away from the source. So And I don't know what kind of power output, but the example that's in here, I was just glancing at it. It says with the green, it's a 5 to 100%, and it says average 27.67 to 33.67 feet for the green. So that means that's, you know, 22.2, that's pretty close being, you know, continuous exposure. So, you know, I'm all for technology, and if that light pole was, and here's the aerial view of the home, and where the light pole is to my, you know, above bedrooms of the garage. If I was living in the master bedroom, and where the, you know, the canister is, you know, I feel okay, I feel fine, you know. I won't have a problem with that, because the distance, I says, yeah. But if I have a child in that room, he would be getting 16 times more than what I would get, at least, you know. So it's like, you know, I think all this other, you know, where light poles, you know, a little bit further, I think that's fine, you know. If the light pole was across the street from my house, or even down a little bit further, I would not have a problem, but this light pole is only 20 feet from my home, you know, so that's why I'm concerned. You know, like I said, I don't know what the output of that source is, mm-hmm. right? There was a website where you could do the calculation, you know, what this, how the strength of the mm-hmm. source and what distance you are, and you could calculate, hey, this your exposure, but I don't know that, but I guess with the information that I have, I guess I could do it.
Do you have a copy of that report that I could take a look at?
Yeah. So,
this is
I think I ran into the same calculation you did.
Yeah, so, you know, I just, you know, I'm looking at page 6.
Thank you.
Or any other, you know, page 7, I suppose, right, where it says 10-foot grid size, average. So, I'm kind of, you know, am I within that, you know, where I could get 100% of, you know, obviously you don't want to be in that red, right? Because that's right at the, you know, so yeah, that's 5,000%. But I don't want to be in the range of 5 to 10%, I mean 5 to 100%, where, you know, if child sleeping, whatever, you know, like I said, in the room or whatever, the continuous exposure. I am concerned with that being that close, less than 23 feet from the source.
So
what's your work, Craig? I'll let you know as well, Andrew as well, man. That we do ask AT&T before they, you know, before they come here, that they do an analysis of all the poles within the vicinity.
Uh-huh.
And I have that analysis here.
Okay.
And they looked at 3 other poles within that vicinity.
Uh-huh.
2 of them, unfortunately, that they could not go on. One was a utility pole. Unfortunately, those lines interfere with the radio waves,
uh-huh.
so they couldn't go on that one. The other one, it just interfered with another node down the street, so it overlaps in coverage. But there is an alternative number 3, or I believe alternative number 2, that they could do, just a larger trenching, just so you're aware of that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because 23 feet, I mean, this room is larger than 23 feet. I'm looking at it, that's 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. So it's like having a source on that wall and I'm standing here, just continue, right? So I don't feel comfortable, I would not. So, that's the only point that I want to make. I mean, if someone to say, oh yeah, it's really low and, you know, whatever amount of exposure that you're gonna get is minimal, you know, whatever, if they show me on a piece of paper, then fine.
Yeah, and I wish AT&T was here to speak on, but I can't speak for their behalf, so unfortunately, but they, by doing this so many times, and what's been explained to me, the amount of watts that are coming out of this thing is anywhere from 0.5 to 5, that's in kilowatts, that's coming out of there. The amount of exposure is similar to like a little bigger than a microwave, or even your cell phone. That produces, but I can't speak for the numbers.
Right, you know, and effects has a, you know, differently on each people. You know, that's why, you know, they say even your phone, they say don't hold it over your head, like, you know, continuously, right? But yes, so yeah, and like I said, all the other installation poles that come out of that, none of them are as close as mine. You know, mine is just right there.
And I agree with him. It's the location of the poles. I've seen them around town. I don't have a problem with progress. I have a problem with it being in so close to the kids and the homes with zero protection.
But I mean, they, you know, I've read some articles where it says you get less, you know, whatever the radiation if you're standing like directly under the pole or the pole, right, where the source is up there, right? Because how it's the dispersed pattern is.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but, it's a shadow zone.
Right, but you know, where my home is, you know, you're, you know, on the second floor, you know, you're pretty, you know, you're getting it. So that's not a concern.
Okay. All right. So you are
one of the two escape.
And you were at what location again now?
Weathervane Avenue. Okay. And if you look at the pole in front of Weathervane Avenue, there's a home not even 50 feet away from it.
I'll be happy with 50 feet. Yeah.
Sure.
I would. Either way you look at it, there's studies on both sides, and that goes a lot further than 50 feet.
And Mr. Parker, for the location on Cityscape Glen, do we have a distance from property line and from the structure that the pole is?
It's approximately about 22 feet.
22. Okay, thank you. All right. Sir, which location?
You know, actually, I don't have any objection, you know, far away, 2010. Just received the
okay,
just
gotcha. Okay.
I'm all for it.
What's your name, sir?
Ron Kim.
Ron Kim.
City of Redo and ATT. No objection.
And what's your address?
Yes.
Which location do you live near?
2010 East Bay Parkway.
Okay.
Far away from there, not a thing. I just put this better.
All right. So, based on what I'm hearing, the concerns are whether the information provided in this electric magnetic energy report, FCC compliance report, is accurate and is complete to the point where it's showing the actual effects and impacts on the various properties.
So those two homes.
So, looking at this. Without AT&T being here, what I'd like to do is I would like to continue this hearing on the two items that that you individuals here have some concerns on, and other than that, I do hereby approve the other three locations. So that concludes the hearing here. We will be in touch. Mr. Parker will continue to be in contact with regard to further information that you may be able to obtain. Otherwise, when we are able to speak with AT&T and when we're able to get the information, we'll be rescheduling another public hearing. So, and with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.